Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
BetOnline is your number one source for all your betting needs and sports info and odds. This is G. Hey Wiley from the Arash Marakazi Show telling you find all of the latest sports developments, including this week's odds for the Masters Championship and the start to the Major League Baseball season. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sporting wagering needs, including live betting, which is dangerous, but my favorite, and your favorite Vegas casino and poker games. It's super easy to get started, so join today. Learn why everyone is saying BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to wager on popular sports and games. BetOnline, guys, where the game starts.
This is the Arash Marakazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Hello, what a beautiful Friday, and welcome to the Arash Marakazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California and 98.5 The Fan in Las Vegas. I'm joined, as always, by producer G. Hey Wiley. G, how are you doing on this glorious Friday?
I am wonderful. I think I'm officially off the IR, so
I'm doing
really, really well. And it's Friday, Arash.
It's Friday.
You can't be Fridays, man. I don't care if you're working on a Friday or if you're not. Friday is still Friday. It's great. Good times.
It is. You have the weekend to look forward to, but we can't all 100% be here because as soon as you're here and healthy, Armani Buckets is not here. Next week, we'll get everyone on the same page and hopefully, and we're still working this out, maybe be doing the show together in Las Vegas. But with all that said, speaking of Vegas, let's get to today's headlines brought to you by Circa Sports.
Well, the Dodgers are 9-3, and the Padres are 9-5. They're tied for the best record in baseball, and they're beginning a three-game series in San Diego.
That's
today,
right,
at Petco Park. The Padres will try to keep their four-game home win streak intact when the two NL West rivals meet for the first time this season. This looked like it could become baseball's next great rivalry 2 years ago, Arash, when they met in the NLDS. Do you think it can resume this season?
I think it can. You know, when we first started doing the show back in like October of 2020 and they were meeting in the postseason, I said, this is the start of something big. These two teams will be going at it head to head for the division. They'll be meeting in the postseason. Last year, amazingly, it was the Giants. The Giants going head to head with the Dodgers for the division, 107 wins, 106 wins. I mean, it was nuts. And then meeting up in the postseason, that could be the Padres. And I would love it to be the Padres. I think that these are the two teams that I look at going head-to-head for the division this season. And this is such an exciting time for these two franchises. And again, you know, remember a year ago, we were at Petco Park when the Padres swept the Dodgers. And by the way, that was the high watermark for the Padres. As soon as that series was over, they nosedived and they were not in contention, and the Giants were. So I hope it's the beginning of something big. They've had a good start to their season. The Dodgers have as well, 9-3, 9-5, the top two teams in my view right now. And so I do like the Dodgers, obviously, in this series, but the big picture here, I would love this to kind of reclaim its spot as being a potential great rivalry. Again, we expected that with the Dodgers going up against the Giants. I'd love to see that. Dodgers-Padres meeting up in the postseason, going head-to-head for the division.
Yeah, it's on the trajectory to get there, right? I mean, I personally think that the Dodgers are going to do well, specifically because I will not be there.
And we felt that we were some bad luck. I mean, the fact that they got swept, which was absolutely ridiculous. We had an amazing time, and we both love Petco Park, and I think despite our bad luck, we do have to figure out a way to go back to San Diego to go to a game there, because it's just, when you talk about the food and the atmosphere, it is a fantastic place to go watch a game.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, the fact that they're right in the middle, smack dab of downtown is just phenomenal. And then that you can just literally hop, skip, and jump over to Petco Park, it's phenomenal. So the location is key.
I really wish we had that in Los Angeles. You know, when you look at all, I mean, I guess the closest thing is Staples Center, and you can walk across the street there. But, you know, Dodger Stadium, it's just in the middle of a giant parking lot. Basically the same thing with like the Rose Bowl and the Coliseum. Like, we don't have that, you know, hang out pre-game, go to watch the game, go grab a drink post-game, like right next door. So, but
I mean, you got to give props to at least SC is near downtown and it's near some restaurants and near some kind of bar
situation.
But it's
not quite the same, you know? And so, yeah, we will figure out a way to hop on that train and head down to San Diego at some point soon.
Well, guys, I'm looking for the next headline. So sorry about that. The Angels. Here's the next headline. The Angels tied for the best record in the American League. Host the Baltimore Orioles, who, by the way, they can never get it together. I don't know what's up with that organization. But they host the Baltimore Orioles tonight to begin a 3-game series. The Angels are 3-3 at home and 8-4 overall. Angels hitters have a collective 409 slugging percentage to rank fourth in the AL. Do you think the Angels can continue on their solid start this season now that they're home?
It's kind of interesting, and I think so, yes. They really need to get some home fans there and that home field advantage. It's kind of amazing that they went to Houston and had the success that they did. As you touched on, GK, right now they are 3-3 at home, which means that they've had more success away from home. By the way, speaking of trains, if you live in Los Angeles and you do want to see Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout and this team, it is such a convenient train ride. It drops you off right there, right at the ballpark. So if you hop on the train at Union Station, and by the way, this holds true if you are in San Diego or live along that Pacific Surfliner. And I tell people that just because it is so incredible to have two transcendent talents being on the same team. Shohei Ohtani, what he's doing. If you can go to a game when he is the starting pitcher and he's going to bat leadoff, it is such a cool thing to see. And so I encourage people to do that a year ago, and I encourage you to do that now, just because this is one of those things you're probably going to tell your kids about one day, or if you have kids, I mean, take your kids too. But yes, to your point, GA, they can continue it. They will continue it. I do like this team. I was thinking that this would finally be the year that they break their postseason streak of not making it into the postseason.
At least with the wild card. Sorry to interrupt.
But 100%. Now with the way that the wild card is positioned, and very smart of Major League Baseball to do that, because at the very least, you want these two guys, you want two of the best players to be playing meaningful games when the season is wrapping up. Come October, you don't want these guys to be done. So, yes, I do think that they make the postseason, and it begins this season, and I do like them to win tonight.
Yeah, no, I mean, first of all, like I said in the beginning of this headline, Baltimore's terrible, to quote Charles Barkley, they're terrible. So, like, that organization just has so much to figure out, and the Angels are already on their way to figuring their stuff out right now by having Shohei Ohtani, by having Mike Trout, by, you know, at least finally working around these guys and helping them out, right? Giving them some pieces and helping them out. And yeah, so I mean, and to be at home is also a great thing. I think, unfortunately, because it is spring, I think that that's not very helpful because kids are still in school, and, mm-hmm. and that probably doesn't help as well.
Is it in the summer? Yeah. It is a night game, I believe. And so, yeah, you know, hopefully during the summer, kids can come out and really enjoy watching these two guys play.
And it is a great environment for kids. Like, I mean, no, not knocking Dodger Stadium or anything like that, but Angels Stadium, it is a phenomenal place to bring your kids. A very bright and entertaining environment. And
it's great beautiful. Parking, by the way, too. I mean, you know, not to compare the two and say one's better than the other, but yes, in terms of bringing the family, bringing the kids, parking, so much better over there.
Well, they do have a lot more room out there now.
That's right.
Well, Philip Deneau scored for the fifth straight game, and the Los Angeles Kings extended their lead for third place in the Pacific Division with a 4-1 win against the Chicago Blackhawks last night. The Kings have won three straight games to move 5 points ahead of the Vegas Golden Knights and 2 points off of the Edmonton Oilers for second place in the Pacific. What's your take on the Kings' chances in the postseason going into Saturday's game against the Anaheim Ducks?
That's right. One more freeway series between the Kings and the Ducks. So my brother says hi. He went to the game last night.
Nice.
Very excited about that. I did not want to go because I've been bad luck. I mean, not only have the Kings lost when I've gone to games, they've been blown out. Like you're talking 6-0, 6-1, like blowout losses. So I decided not to go. I may not go this season, and just because I want the Kings to do well. So very happy that the Kings won last night, 4-1. I mean, not only are they, in my opinion and stats or whatever, they are a lock to make the postseason now. GA, only 2 points back of maybe being second, and that really helps them in terms of their seeding and who they may play in the first round. So excited about the way that the Kings are closing out their season. And this does, in my view, have a little bit of the feel of the 2012 team. Again, I'm not saying that they're going to go from being a low seed to going on a Stanley Cup run, but what they have going for them is they have players who were on that 2012 team. Dustin Brown and Anže Kopitar and Justin Quick. And so they can have that conversation, Jonathan Quick, they can have that conversation with them and say, hey, listen, we've been here before. We got in on the last week of the season. We were a 7 seed or like an 8 seed or whatever. And once the postseason starts, you're 0-0. So GA, I mean, fun that we're going to be back in the postseason again. I'm excited to see the Kings back in playing playoff hockey. But the way that they're closing out the season, that's got to give you some confidence that they can maybe go on some kind of a run here.
So it's giving me confidence for next season.
I see.
I don't know if it's really giving me... And the way that they're playing is phenomenal, because I think nobody except for this team figured out that they were going to be here at this point in the season. So the way that they're playing, the way that those young kids are playing, and I'm going to keep saying this because... Everybody, and I'm not knocking veterans whatsoever. I'm not knocking Quick. I'm not knocking Brown. I'm not knocking any of those guys because they're phenomenal. They're great. They've been there before and they know what they're doing. But they're giving these kids a chance, right? They're giving the younger squad a chance to be able to make the playoffs and vie for them. Right. Yeah. So they're doing a heck of a job mm-hmm. with this young squad. So I'm looking forward to what this squad's going to do next year, and hopefully they pummel it. Right. Oh, yeah. And they crush the opposition, because it's just going to look, it looks great for next season. It looks great now.
And by the way, that 2012 team, and we touched on it, they had a lose in the postseason the previous 2 years before they had their cup run.
Yeah. Yeah. So I definitely think that's it. You got to learn from your mistakes, right? You got to learn from all of that. So I think that's what they're doing. Well, Jalen Brunson scored 31 points playing with a bruised back, and the Dallas Mavericks without the injured Luka Doncic. They beat the Utah Jazz 126-118 on Thursday night to take a 2-1 lead in the first round playoff series. Can the Mavs eliminate Utah without Luka? And if they do, how do you view Jazz coach Quinn Snyder, who is rumored to be a candidate for the Lakers head coaching job?
I was thinking about you last night, Jihe. I mean, Luka Doncic, I mean, no team, in my view, previously to this series, like, I felt needed their star. I mean, there was no way in my mind that the Dallas Mavericks had a chance to beat the Utah Jazz without Luka Doncic. Not only did they win last night, again, taking a 2-1 series lead, as you mentioned, 31 points from Jalen Brunson. So I think, without a doubt, that they can win this series. Really speaking to the fact Utah just craps the bed in the postseason. I mean, look at, not just historically, like over the past couple of years, but last year, they were 2 wins away from the Western Conference Finals, going up against the Clippers team that did not have Kawhi, literally like losing Kawhi during the course of the series. So it's not like they were used to playing without Kawhi. And not only did they lose, Jay, they got blown out in that game 6. And so, yes, I think the Mavericks, and I can't believe I'm saying this, can beat and eliminate the Jazz without Luka Doncic. And it does affect the way that I view Quinn Snyder. And I don't even know if Quinn wants this job. I, quite frankly, think he'll maybe be fired. I mean, the Utah Jazz wants to do more than just win in the regular season. They want to have some postseason success. So this would be a really bad loss.
Yeah, I don't know if I really want to blame Quinn Snyder, because he's gotten
them there. It's not his fault, but I mean, you do have to blame someone. And as we learned in sports, and not just this season, like the quickest way, quickest solution, you gotta fire the coach.
Yeah, the unfortunate part is that Snyder's gonna be the fallback guy.
Sure.
Right? Even though I really don't think that this is entirely his fault. I think that, I hate to say it, I guess I don't hate to say it, because we're both not Utah Jazz fans. We grew up not liking Utah.
Yeah.
But, you know, like you said, they crap the bed. They're choking.
They are.
They're not. It's not one of those things where, you know, they play their hearts out and they're doing so well. They're choking. Like, if you look at their stats, they're not doing well. I thought initially when the reports came out that Luka was at least going to miss 2 games, oh, it's over.
Well, you're thinking that they're going to fall down 2-0 in the series. But, I mean, this really gives this team confidence. And would not be shocked. You know, they were, like, my dark horse pick with Luka. But, GA, like, I mean, if they're playing this way without Luka. And, by the way, I mean, he's loving it. Just watching him courtside, cheering his guys on. They may go on a run here. I'm not saying that they're going to win the whole thing, but they could advance at least to the conference finals, which is an amazing run for a team that I was like, maybe they're a playoff team. I mean, what they're doing right now is incredible.
Yeah, especially without their star player. Exactly. And that's unheard of, yeah. Right? Like, imagine if you didn't have Steph Curry or something.
Exactly.
Like, he's like the equivalent of that. Yeah. So, well, speaking of Steph Curry and Jordan Poole, they scored 27 points each. Klay Thompson made 6 3-pointers on his way to 26 points, and the Warriors beat the Denver Nuggets 118-113 Thursday night to take a 3-0 lead in their playoff series. Is this series over, and do you think the Warriors are now the championship favorites?
Well, according to the odds makers, the Warriors are now the championship favorites, and it really speaks to the fact that they are 100% healthy, really, really, for the first time this entire season. I mean, they've had moments where they've had some guys back, but, like, this is the first time, and it's perfect timing, right, that they're 100% healthy. Steph Curry, Draymond Green, Klay Thompson, and they have a fourth star now. It's not KD, of course, but Jordan Poole, what he's done this year. I mean, the fact that he matched Steph Curry with the point total, 27 points. So they have that fourth star, in my view, and so they are the championship favorites. I thought coming into this season that if they were 100% healthy, they were the best team. And now that is happening right now. And so, and we'll touch on the Suns momentarily, but there's no doubt in my mind. I mean, they're about to sweep the Nuggets. I mean, last night was the game. Listen, when you fall down 2-0 in a series and game three is back on your home court, that's the game that you have to have. You can't fall down 3-0. The Nuggets had a big lead. They blew that lead. They blew the game. The series is over. The Warriors will sweep them. And there's no doubt in my mind, they are now the team to beat.
Yeah, amen. Bring out those brooms. Bring out those brooms, San Francisco. Bring out those brooms, Oakland. Like, all of you people from the Bay, mm-hmm. Enjoy this sweep for the first round. It looks great. I mean, this organization has always been a playoff contender. They've always been a playoff contender. Even when they didn't have all of their stars, they still, you know, as long as you don't have Steph Curry out of everything.
It was going to be hard for them to compete without Steph Curry. 100%. So, but what they did in that time period, GH, which was so big, you get a guy like a Jordan Poole. So, I mean, it's not like they... So, KD just left. KD yes. went to Brooklyn. But they knew when Klay Thompson was healthy, when Steph Curry was healthy, when Draymond Green was healthy, they had the core of a championship team. What they didn't know is that they were going to get a fourth star. And again, this kid is a star.
You know what? I think that they knew. I think that they just didn't think it was going to happen this quickly. Right?
Sure, yeah.
Because that's Golden State. That's, you know, that's Kerr being like, you know what? This is, we're evaluating talent this particular way. These are the tools that we need in order to succeed and be a viable franchise to win a championship.
What a great draft pick, though. Oh, you know, the phenomenal. 28th pick in the first round. And again, he went to a big-time school. It's not like he was like on a D2 school. But I don't think any... I mean, at least when I'm not the first one. He fell down to the 28th pick in the draft. But the way he's playing right up there with Kerr. I mean, sorry, with Curry. Mm-hmm. And just being a part of a locker room like that is huge, you know?
No, definitely. And again, the culture that, you know, Steve Kerr has built and the leadership that, you know, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, and Steph Curry have built in this organization, you can't buy stuff like that. Well, I guess you can because they're on their own.
Exactly.
But you can't buy stuff like that. Well, Devin Booker has suffered a grade 1 right hamstring strain and could be out 2 to 3 weeks, which would put Booker's return during this first round playoff series against the New Orleans Pelicans in question. Can the Suns beat the Pelicans without Booker? And do you still view them as a championship favorite if he's not 100%?
Yeah, and so that's the big question. I think they can beat the Pelicans without him. They are up 2-1 in the series. Really puts them in a precarious position because if the Pelicans win game 4, obviously the series is 2-2, and we'll see where that goes. The problem here is I no longer view them as the championship favorites. Really, it's a two-part thing. I mean, the way that the Warriors are playing right now at full health, that changed my view. But if Devin Booker is going to be out for an extended period of time. And I don't think he will be. I think he will be out for this series. I think it'll go maybe seven. The Suns win in seven. But if Devin Booker is not 100% and being the player that he has been for this team, I don't think they may not make it out of the second round. And at the very least, listen, this goes beyond just what's happening with the Suns. The way the Warriors are playing, if they are healthy, they are, in my view, without question, the team to beat.
No, I 100% agree with you. I still think that they're viable, right?
Yeah,
I think they
can get out of this round. But Devin Booker has to be healthy.
100%. Yeah. They definitely need all of the pieces to come together in order to be to vie for a championship and be the favorites for the championship. So, I mean, I hate to say it, but Vegas is going to get it right again, right? Yeah. And I don't think that moving forward, I don't think that we see them going anywhere other than maybe to the second round.
Yeah. Maybe. I think they beat New Orleans, but depending on who they play in the second round, here's a big question. If Devin Booker is not healthy, because I do think he's going to push himself to get back on the court. This is the playoffs. This is, you know, but it is amazing that a team that basically, in my view, made it all the way to the finals because of the players who were hurt, whether it was the Lakers, whether it was the Nuggets, or whether it was the Clippers, now they have to deal with their star player being hurt. So we'll see how far they go. All right, let's leave it there for now. When we come back, we will be joined by our good friend Michael Duarte from KNBC4 in Los Angeles when we return right here on the Mightier 1090, ESPN Radio in Southern California, and The Fan in Las Vegas.
We'll be right back with the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Are you paying down old credit card debt? I know I am. A personal loan could be your solution, guys. Loans usually come with a fixed monthly payment, making them a simple way to help pay off your credit cards. Plus, loans usually have lower interest rates than credit cards do, and Credit Karma can help you find the best option for yourself. Credit Karma uses your credit data to find loan offers that are personalized to you so you can have a better idea of what loan amount you are getting approved for. Credit Karma will even show you your chances of approval so you can choose between loan offers that you're more likely to get approved for and apply with more confidence. Comparing loan offers on Credit Karma is 100% free, won't affect your credit score, and could save you money. Ready to apply? Head to creditkarma.com/loan offers to see personalized offers. Again, that's creditkarma.com/loan offers to find the loan for you. That's creditkarma.com/loan offers.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Still clown with the underground
when we come around. Welcome back to the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California and 98.5 The Fan in Las Vegas. Just as a reminder, if you have a question or a comment or just want to win tickets to a future Kings or Galaxy game, call our hotline 310-400-0340. Okay, joining us now on the Circus Sports Guest Hotline, our good friend Michael Duarte from KNBC4 in Los Angeles. Michael, how are you?
Good, Arash. I'd like to go to a Kings game, perhaps one in a little over a week or so, because I think it'll be a much more important game.
Exactly. Playoff hockey. For the first time in 3 years, we have not had playoff hockey. Kind of took it for granted there for a while when they won their two cups. But yeah, excited for playoff hockey. Michael, let's start here. Big series coming up in San Diego. The Dodgers, Padres. You know, a couple of years ago when you were in I think the series was in Texas. It was the Dodgers Padres in the division series. We really felt that okay, this is the beginning of the next great rivalry in baseball. Didn't happen a year ago. It was Dodgers Giants going at it for the division. Where do you see this rivalry now? Can the Padres once again kind of pick up where they left off 2 years ago in terms of, you know, them being right there with the Dodgers?
Yeah, Rosh, and I have an unpopular opinion on this subject between the Dodgers and Padres, quote-unquote rivalry. You know, could you call them rivals because they're in the same division? They're very close to each other, located in Southern California. Many of my friends who are players on the Dodgers like to take the Dreamliner train via Amtrak down there to get down there, so they don't got to waste any gas with the prices they are now. So there are things like that. And there's hate between these two teams. Let's not get that wrong. And these games, at least over the last two seasons, they just play with an intensity that burns like this, like the Olympic torch, you know, the steady flame that can never be extinguished. But for me, and you might agree and attest to this, a rivalry, Arash, needs to be teams that meet often, that have both won on each side, that have met in the playoffs, where there's actually stakes and things on the line. And that has only happened once between these teams in a long, long time, and that was in the 2020 playoffs in the bubble in which the Dodgers swept the Padres. So to me, it's not quite a rivalry to that extent yet. It is the Dodgers-Giants, it is the Yankees and Red Sox, and everybody else is in the rear view watching these rivals. But to your point, I don't think the Dodgers see them as the rivalry that we just talked about, as you mentioned. I think the Padres do. And I think for the Padres and the Padres fans base, every time they play the Dodgers, it's like the World Series.
Yeah,
it's like 19 World Series games played over the season. And the Padres actually got the best of the Dodgers last year, but we know all that matters is how they finished. And we know the Dodgers finished, you know, in the wild card, making a run again to the National League Championship Series, falling two wins shy of the World Series. And the Padres were on the outside looking in, and they made a lot of moves and trades and bolstered their starting rotation to try to get back in that conversation again. So for the Padres, this series this weekend in San Diego, for them it's the first of three games of the World Series, and for the Dodgers, just another series they're going to go out there and they're going to try to win two or three.
You know, that's always a home game for the Dodgers, Michael, as you know. I mean, the amount of Dodger fans, A, that like live in San Diego, but obviously, certainly when it's a weekend. I mean, this is that is the worst scenario, I think, for the Padres, because there's going to be a ton of Dodger fans who are going to get on that Pacific Surfliner or make that drive, and they're going to enjoy a weekend there in San Diego. It is a very much a home field advantage. I've covered a few of those series. Your thoughts on that? I mean, again, that happens. I mean, San Diego is really an extension of Los Angeles, and I know that they hate to hear that and our friends at 1090. But listen, there's a ton of Laker fans there, of course, Charger fans, but like Rams fans, Kings fans. Your thoughts, having covered many of those Dodgers-Padres series at Petco Park?
Yeah, exactly, Arash. You know, you nailed it. The Petco Park, we always call Dodger Stadium South over the years because of all the Dodger fans that like to travel down there, especially you're talking about a weekend game where a team like a fan group team like Pantone 294 can get together and rent some of those luxury buses I know they like to travel in. And just I think they can do that. Now, to counter your point, as a counter argument there, I do have many friends who live in San Diego, were born and raised in San Diego. They have season tickets to the Padres. They are diehard Padres fans. And I would say those fans have come out more in the last couple of years for these games. I have seen more Padres fans than Dodgers fans just in the last two seasons during these games where they play each other head-to-head. And so I still think that there's going to be a large contingent of Padres fans. I think what happens, Arash, is that when the Padres are bad, these season ticket holders sell their tickets because they don't really care and they want to start to make some of that money back. But and when they are bad, and maybe even towards the tail end of last season they did this, it was like pulling a gopher out of a hole to get these San Diego Padres fans to actually come to the game and go to their season tickets. This season, and especially having this series so early when the Padres are, I think they have 9 wins. They're also up there with the Dodgers. They're very good as well this year. I think you're going to see some of the Padre fans hold on to those tickets and come. As long as the Padres will be good, I think less Dodger fans will be able to purchase tickets. But I'm going to expect 50-50, maybe 60-40 Dodgers fans for this series.
That's, you know, listen, if you're a Dodgers fan, that's all you can hope for. I mean, in terms of this is a road game, but if it's a 50-50 crowd, that's a good thing. What's been the biggest surprise for you so far this season? I've been really, you know, the only concern I had is the pitching, and the pitching has been fantastic, certainly during the home series. What has been the biggest surprise to you so far?
Yeah, great question. The biggest surprise to me, Arash, has actually been the play of Cody Bellinger.
Yeah.
He leads the team right now with 6 multi-hit games. He already has 2 home runs. Mookie Betts, I believe, has 0 home runs. So those stats at-bats that we're seeing from Cody Bellinger so early in the season when he looked absolutely lost during spring training. I think one stretch he had struck out 7 of 14 times without a hit in his first like 14 spring training at-bats. He was tinkering with his swing seemingly every single spring training game. So that's not someone who looked comfortable at the box, but not someone who looked confident, who knew what their approach and their attack was. And suddenly we get into the regular season and he has a breakdown of the pitchers. He has a battle plan for what he wants to do when he steps into the box. And suddenly he's not darting to and fro and back and forth in the box like a dragonfly in summer, Rocky.
Yeah.
He's sitting there and he's poised and he's waiting for his pitch and he's delivering. So that's been the most pleasant surprise. I would also say to that, to your point about the starting pitching, the way that Andrew Heaney, who I know is back on the IL with some shoulder discomfort right now, but the way he's pitched for the first two games, the way Kershaw has pitched, especially you know with that perfect game in Minnesota. So I think those are pleasant surprises. To your point as far as what maybe is a concern if you look at this team, I know you had talked about we all thought maybe the starting rotation would be one. I didn't think the starting rotation would be a concern early. I thought once you start to see guys like what's happening with Andrew Heaney go down and the depth really get tested, we're going to find out here as Tyler Anderson will now move into the starting rotation, which means they're just another injury or two away from, you know, having rookies come up from the minor leagues, like Andrew Jackson having to make some big time starts and stuff. And that's when it kind of gets more concerning when you got guys that haven't been on the stage before having to perform regularly every 5 days in the rotation. But so far, so good there. My biggest concern, to be honest with you, is the play of Mookie Betts. I believe he started the season 7 for 40. I think he's now 8 for 44. He only had one good hit. That was the single to lead off Wednesday's game, the morning businessman special game against the Braves. That's the best swing I've seen him do so far this short, early season. And my concerns with Mookie Betts is just like, you know, this guy's a star. He's here for the next 10-plus years. And he's been embraced by the fans like asleep, and he's going to start to feel the pressure of being able to have to perform. He kind of struggled a little bit last season, in my opinion, especially in the playoffs. We know he had that nagging hip injury. He told me specifically in spring that hip injury is behind him. It's completely gone. He did not opt for surgery on it, though. He just kind of got a little procedure maybe to shave it down. So I'm wondering if that hip spur is bothering him, if there's another part of his body that's bothering him right now, because he just doesn't seem to look like the old Mookie Betts that we've come to know and love.
It's definitely been a so far disappointing season for Mookie for sure. Michael, thank you so much again for always joining us every Friday. It's always a pleasure. Do you see a sweep with the Dodgers and Padres this season or season series?
What do you mean by that?
Do you see them sweeping? So do you see the Dodgers sweeping the Padres this particular series?
Oh, do I see them winning this particular series?
Yeah.
Not so much, to be honest with you. And I look at like the starting rotation and the matchups that are going on this series. I'm back. Sorry about that.
No worries.
No, so like I'm looking at some of the probable pitchers that we expect to see, and that's kind of where I go, Jihei, when it comes to who I think is going to win a series. Julio Urias, Nick Martinez will be first up Friday night. You know, when people are listening to the show, they'll be able to see that. I think the Dodgers win that game. But then you have potentially Tyler Anderson, probably the one making the start on Saturday, his first start of the year. And he's going up against Yu Darvish, who's always given the Dodgers problems when they faced him over the years, especially being a former Dodger, obviously with some bad Dodger memories, failing twice in the World Series in 2017. Costing the Dodgers a title, arguably, in that Game 7 that Arash and I watched from the reserve section together. So that's a game I could potentially see them lose, the middle game of that. And then you have a great matchup on Sunday between Clayton Kershaw and the newest San Diego Padre, Sean Manaea, a guy who has been phenomenal with the A's in his young career, and a guy that Dodgers fans wanted to see the Dodgers trade for to get. And it's unfortunately the Padres, who actually didn't need the starting pitching, who go out and get Sean Manaea. So that's going to be a great rubber match if it goes down the way I think it is, which is Dodgers win game one, Padres win game two, and then the rubber match is two lefties in Kershaw and Sean Manaea. That's going to be a great, great matchup. So that's to answer your question, GA, in a long-winded way. No, I don't see them sweeping this series. And you know, it's possible down the road, depending on what happens, they'll sweep a different series. And I don't think the season series will be a sweep, obviously. That's 19 games. This doesn't happen. But I do think and believe that the Dodgers can and will win the season series this year, whether that's 10-9 or 11-8, something like that, something close. But I do see them winning the season series this year, unlike what they were able to do last year. But, you know, these, like I said to both of you, these games just mean so much for the Padres.
Yeah.
They get up for them. This is their first three of three World Series games of 19 this season. So I don't see the Dodgers being able to sweep this weekend, but it should be a fun series.
This is a general question as a fellow USC Trojans. The spring game is on Saturday. I'm thinking of actually going. I have not gone in quite some time. Generally speaking, these games are like flag football, two-hand touch. According to Lincoln Riley, that will not be the case this year. It's going to be on national television, so you'll be able to watch it where, I mean, if you're in Philadelphia, if you're in New York, wherever. So are you excited, Michael Duarte, about USC football this season?
Yeah, Rush, I'm going to admit that I am not going to be at that spring game as I'm out of town this weekend. And, man, I'm kicking myself that I'm going to miss it. Because, and you can attest to this as well, even back in the Pete Carroll era when we had spring games. And the spring game was exciting sometimes. It was a glimpse at sometimes of a new quarterback that we got to see over the years, you know. But this time, especially with the fanfare going on, especially that's nationally televised. And did you see what USC put out as far as their spring game lineup and stuff to look like the Coachella flyer?
I saw that. Yeah. That was smart, you know, because like the kids obviously like love Coachella. So if you can make it just more than just about the game, if you can make it like a festival, a football festival, that'd be fantastic.
Exactly. And they have like the pear style, you know, in the desert, the Coachella desert, with the torch lit. It says pregame, which would be like day one at Coachella, in-game day two, post-game day three. Yeah. It has the lineup. It's great. But here's the crazy thing. They have food trucks going on all day. They have carnival games. They have a bounce house. They have tattoos going on. They have a giveaway. Like you said, they're going to be playing. They have DJs. The Rams DJ is going to be performing during the game. They're giving out posters, t-shirts. They are turning this spring game into a real event.
Yeah.
And now it's like FOMO, right? I have severe USC spring game FOMO, and I've never had that before. And all I can say is that what Lincoln Riley has done here, and what USC, to their credit, has done here, is made this like what the spring games are in the SEC. Like, you don't hear about spring game, you know, in the middle of the country. You don't hear about the spring game for Syracuse or something, but we always hear about Alabama's spring game.
Yeah.
We always hear about Georgia's spring game and LSU's spring game and Ohio State spring game. So the fact that USC is having this game televised, they're making this a whole event, a day, a festival, they're trying to get fans out and get excited to watch their own team scrimmage each other. To me, that is just phenomenal. So yeah, I got severe FOMO that I'm not going to be there, but I'm excited that they're turning this into an event and really, really making this something that fans want to go to.
So, Michael, I'm watching this Utah Jazz-Dallas Mavericks series only because I keep hearing Quinn Snyder is a contender or one of the, you know, candidates for coach of the Lakers. When you think of who that they should hire, I mean, first of all, if the Mavericks without Luka Doncic figure out a way to beat the Jazz, I mean, the Jazz at this point will be known as a team that cannot win come postseason. And I don't know if Quinn Snyder at that point you could realistically hire him because he has not had postseason success. Generally speaking, I mean, who would you like to have as the next coach of this team? Would he have to have had a championship under his belt like Nick Nurse? Would it have to be, I mean, what are the qualities, what are the traits for the next head coach?
Yeah, great question. And, you know, unfortunately, the qualities and traits that we would have wanted to see in the next head coach, we saw in guys like Monty Williams, who, you know, a coach of the year winner now and has the number one seed, the number one record, and has the Suns poised to make another run back to the NBA Finals. That was a guy the Lakers could have had and could have had, in my opinion, relatively easily and cheaply, and they didn't get him. Then they could have gone out and got Ty Lue. And I think there was some thought maybe with Lakers brass and with Ty Lue that, you know, potentially maybe his success was tied to the fact that he was coaching LeBron James in Cleveland. and we hadn't seen him be a head coach somewhere else to see that if he could replicate that same success with another club that is his own, that doesn't have, you know, arguably the greatest player of all time on that roster. But what we've seen him do with the Clippers, and more specifically, Arash, what we've seen him do with the Clippers when they are shorthanded, when they are void of stars, like a starless night sky, you know, in the middle of a city somewhere, when you don't have Kawhi Leonard, when you don't have Paul George, to be able to get your team into the play-in tournament, to be able to get them playing well with a bunch of young guys, let's be honest, and a couple of veterans around them, what he's been able to do with those teams has also been impressive. And you missed out on that guy. And let's go back to that past history, Arash, and remember why the Lakers did not sign Monty Williams and were not able to come to terms with Ty Lue. That was because the rumors and the reports out there were that they were insisting that Jason Kidd be on the staff, that Jason Kidd be an assistant coach. And Ty Lue and some other guys were like, why are you picking my assistant for me? Well, that decision, and arguably you could say it was a good decision because Jason Kidd didn't become a distraction like we thought. He wasn't, you know, Littlefinger from Game of Thrones, you know, ready to backstab Frank Vogel and take over the top spot at any moment. But arguably, Jason Kidd would have been the perfect heir to the Lakers head coaching throne, but you allow him to leave and go to Dallas, and now Jason Kidd has his team in the playoffs, and you mentioned the Utah Jazz. Dallas Mavericks are the team beating the Utah Jazz.
Yeah.
They're the team. Jason Kidd, without his star in Luka Doncic, which is even more remarkable, is playing better and out-coaching Quinn Snyder, a guy who's on that Lakers short list that we just talked about. So that would have been the guy, and you let him go. So now, to your point, for as far as the Lakers' next head coach, what's out there? We would love to say we want a guy like Phil Jackson who's going to come in with 11 championships.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
That guy just doesn't exist. Right, that guy just doesn't exist out there. So you now go to the second plan B, which is like if we were creating an NFL draft board, which I know you'll be at a Rosh in Las Vegas next weekend. You know, you go to best available. You know, if you can't have the guy you want, then you go to best available. And right now, best available is probably Mark Jackson. That's probably why he's the favorite now, the betting favorite, according to Las Vegas odds. But for me, watching these playoffs, I really like Nick Nurse.
No doubt about it.
And this is a situation where both of these guys could become available. And I'm talking about Quinn Snyder and Nick Nurse because both of their teams right now are struggling in the playoffs. They're on the precipice of getting bounced in the first round. Yes, they're still under contract. In the case of Quinn Snyder, he might be negotiating an extension of some sort, but Nick already signed one in the offseason. But Nick Nurse, the Toronto Raptors head coach, you know, I believe he was coaching in England before. He's coached internationally on the stage. He coached in England before taking over the Raptors. He was seen as a very progressive guy who had a very unique, interesting offense. So I like those aspects about him. He won a title and beat the dominant and dynasty team of the Golden State Warriors with Kevin Durant and Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and Draymond Green. And now we see when that team is whole, even without Kevin Durant, how good they are. They're up 3-0 on the Nuggets in their playoff series. So the fact that he was able to beat them, I know there was injuries involved, but to beat them with Kawhi Leonard, he has that championship pedigree. He's been able to do more with less, and he's able to do more with these Raptors teams that have lost all their stars, including Kyle Lowry. So to me, you could argue the point, okay, they're not winning, same as Quinn Snyder, but for me right now, it's Nick Nurse 1 and Quinn Snyder 2.
No doubt about that. All right, Michael, thank you so much. You're the best. That's all the time we have for today. Let's do it again on Monday. Until then, this is Arash Markazi saying stay safe and stay healthy.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.